right, said one of the assistants. It's the thingy, the quarter.
But you were kicking him.
Well, not a lot. Not what you'd call actual kicking. More foot nudging sort of thing, said the third thief. Fair's fair. He bloody well went and fetched Ron here a right thump, didn't he? Yeah, some people have no idea.
Why, you heartless...
Howell began, but Tom John laid a cautioning hand on his head. The boy turned the card over. The obverse read,
J.H. Flannelfoot, Boggis and Nephews, Bespoke Thieves, The Old Firm, established A.M. 1789. All type theft carried out professionally and with discretion. Houses cleared, 24-hour service, no job too small. Let us quote you for our family rate.
It seems to be an order, he said reluctantly. Howell paused in the act of helping the dazed victim to his feet.
In order,
he shouted,
to rob someone?
We'll give him a chitty, of course, said Boggis. Lucky we found him first, really. Some of these newcomers in the business, they've got no idea.
Cowboys,
agreed a nephew. Ankh Morpork's enviable system of licensed criminals owes much to the current patrician, Lord Vetinari. He reasoned that the only way to police a city of 1 million inhabitants was to recognise the various gangs and robbers' guilds, give them professional status, invite the leaders to large dinners, allow an acceptable level of street crime, and then make the guild leaders responsible for enforcing it, on pain of being stripped of their new civic honours, along with large areas of their skin. It worked. Criminals, it turned out, made a very good police force. Unauthorised robbers soon found, for example, that instead of a night in the cells, they could now expect an eternity at the bottom of the river. However, there was the problem of apportioning the crime statistics. And so there arose a complex system of annual budgeting, chits and allowances to see that A, the members could make a reasonable living, and B, no citizen was robbed or assaulted more than an agreed number of times. Many foresighted citizens, in fact, arranged to get an acceptable minimum of theft, assault, etc., over at the beginning of the financial year, often in the privacy and comfort of their own homes, and thus be able to walk the streets quite safely for the rest of the year. It all ticked over extremely peacefully and efficiently, demonstrating once again that, compared to the patrician of Ankh, Machiavelli could not have run a whelk stall.
How much did you steal?
Said Tom John. Boggis opened the clown's purse, which was stuck in his belt, then went pale.
Oh, bleeding hell, he said.
The nephews clustered around.
We're for it, sort of thing.
Second time this year, uncle.
Boggis glared at the victim.
Well, how was I to know? I wasn't to know, was I? I mean, look at him. How much would you expect him to have on him? Couple of coppers, right? I mean, we'd never have done him, only it was on our way home. You try to do someone a favour, this is what happens.
How much has he got then? Said Tom John.
There must be 100 silver dollars in here, moaned Boggis, waving a purse. I mean, that's not my league. That's not my class. I can't handle that sort of money. You've got to be in the Guild of Lawyers or something to steal that much. It's way over my quota, is that.
Give it back then, said Tom John.
But I done him a receipt.
They've all got, you know, numbers on,
explained the younger of the nephews. The guild checks up, sort of.
Howell grabbed Tom John's hand.
Will you excuse us a moment?
He said to the frantic thief, and dragged Tom John to the other side of the alley.
Okay,
he said.
Who's gone mad? Them? Me? You?
Tom John explained.
It's legal.
Up to a certain point. Fascinating, isn't it? Man in a pub told me about it, sort of thing.
But he's stolen too much.
So it appears. I gather the guild is very strict about it.
There was a groan from the victim hanging between them. He tinkled gently.
Look after him, said Tom John. I'll sort this out.
End of CD 6.